about them cowgirls. How about them boys? I could stay awake just to hear you breathing, watch you smile while you're sleeping, while you're far away and dreaming. I could spend my life in this sweet surrender. I could stay lost in this moment forever. Every moment spent with you is a moment.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The economy, immigration, and reproductive rights remain at the center of election year issues for voters. Tonight, President Biden expected to touch on those issues in his State of the Union address. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says it also includes IVF treatments in the wake of the Alabama State Supreme Court decision ruling frozen embryos are children.
Democrats are making sure that Americans have freedom to make their own choices for themselves and their families.
Schumer's guest will be a Hudson Valley mom who's pregnant with her second child via IVF. Alabama state lawmakers passed a bill to protect IVF patients and providers from legal action. Hopes fading of a ceasefire and hostage release deal between Israel and Hamas before Ramadan begins this weekend. President Biden now ordering the military to create a temporary port along Gaza's coast to get critical aid in. And jobless claims unchanged last week, with 217,000 Americans filing first-time benefits. This is ABC News. Robert Carr, the man who killed 18 people in Lewiston, Maine last year, likely suffered from traumatic brain injury. That according to doctors who studied his brain. Reporter Kate McCusker is with our ABC affiliate in Portland, Maine.
Dr. Ann McKee writing, "While I cannot say with certainty that these pathological findings underlie Mr. Carr's behavioral changes in the last 10 months of life, based on her previous work, brain injury likely played a role in his symptoms." The report also notes that Carr was a U.S. Army reservist and a longtime instructor at an Army hand grenade training range, saying it is believed he was exposed to thousands of low-level blasts.
The Maine Chief Medical Examiner's Office requested the post-mortem study of Card's brain. The results were released by Card's family. In Haiti, the nighttime curfew and state of emergency in Port-au-Prince has been extended amid a surge of gang violence. The State Department is urging Americans in Haiti to leave the country immediately. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
People who come to Cricket stay with Cricket, just like our customer, Jaren.
I'm the singer and guitarist in a band, and I use my Cricket phone for everything. It's basically like another band member.
Don't miss a single beat. Switch today and get a free Samsung Galaxy A14 5G. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Real customer paid for testimonial. Must bring your number to Cricket on up to a $60 a month voice plan, depending on device. Select models only while supplies last. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Fees, terms, and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayla. The vice president promotes apprenticeships at a Madison visit. Kamala Harris was with apprentices Wednesday at a construction site for Madison Metro.
The president has issued an executive order, an EO, that will direct federal agencies to explore what federal jobs we have that can be filled by the highly skilled folks who work, who have been trained in apprenticeship programs, and not just giving these jobs only to people with a four-year college degree.
Harris was joined by Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway. She also visited a Madison home where she briefly lived as a child while her father worked at the UW. Wisconsin is a crucial state for President Joe Biden's re-election. Several students were injured after a dump truck crashed into a school bus in Waukesha Wednesday morning. Investigators believe the truck ran a red light and struck the side of the bus. 34 students and the driver were aboard that bus. 8 of the students suffered minor injuries, with one transported to a hospital as a precautionary measure. That crash is under investigation. A legal win for Wisconsin's biggest business group.
In a 2-1 decision, a 3-judge state appeals court on Wednesday sided with Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce in ruling that the Department of Natural Resources policies regarding cleanup of PFAS chemicals cannot be enforced. That upheld a Waukesha County judge's ruling from 2022. That judge said agency regulators must first list PFAS as hazardous substances through the state's rulemaking process. Environmental groups said the ruling weakened Wisconsin's spills law and hampered efforts to clean up the forever chemicals. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM Tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another bright and beautiful sunny day as high temperatures soar warm once again into the mid and upper 50s. Clouds will thicken tonight and will remain under overcast skies for tomorrow and much cooler. We take a 10-degree hit. One call to Tax Solutions now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 52.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
2024 via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Justin Tupper from the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. Then it's Bob Elliott from Unlimited Funds. And later, Chad Grip from Sweetwater Technologies. Directly following the news, Greg Henderson from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Laurie.
All right, Davis Michelson, thank you so much, buddy. How you doing this morning?
Let me ask you something. How long does it take you to peel an orange? I sat down. I finished pulling the news together with about 15 minutes to spare, and I'm just getting into this thing now.
Wow.
I've been working on it ever since.
Oh, see, now I'll admit I'm not much of an orange guy.
Okay.
It's a texture thing. The little cuties,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that take like 3 seconds to peel.
Yeah.
And you can just like pop those in your mouth. Those are delicious.
Boy, 3 seconds. Those. Now, if I extrapolate that out to the size of a navel orange, that puts me at like, I don't know, 23, 24 seconds.
Right, right.
I got some work to do.
You got some practice to do.
I do.
Yep. I'm more of a, middle of the day, a banana. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, those you can peel fairly quickly.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, this fruit PSA is brought to you by Keep the Doctor Away.
That's right.
We didn't even mention an apple. Glad you're with us this morning. Packers and Stockyards. We need to get a better understanding of what is going on there. The SEC, how often is it that the Securities Exchange Commission has a final rule that impacts farmers, and I mean every farmer. We'll get to the details on that. I think you've got some on that in the news.
Mm-hmm.
And then Powell, what exactly is going on with his testimony in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill? We'll find out from Bob Elliott. Bob's back. And I want to ask Bob about the risk of a recession going forward. And what he is watching to indicate whether or not that is a real possibility for us or not.
All right,
let's get to the news, bud.
Sure thing. Well, I hate to start with this, but private exporters reported cancellations of export sales of 130,000 metric tons of soft red winter wheat for delivery to China during the 23-24 marketing year.
We're talking about
cancellations, dude.
Yeah.
We were talking about it yesterday.
Yep, there were two sales, 130,000 metric tons apiece, of SRW wheat to China, and they've canceled one of them. That's mm. uh, that is probably what was behind the heavy pressure on winter wheat futures the past couple of days, because winter wheat futures trading to the upside today.
Well, let's look to the weather from the National Weather Service. A storm system will bring the threat of flash flooding and severe weather to the southern plains today, spreading eastward into the lower Mississippi Valley and southeast on Friday. Areas of moderate to heavy snow are expected for the central Rockies and high plains today. Another critical risk of fire weather Thursday for the southern high plains. High temperatures remain above average and spring-like for the eastern U.S. with below-average temperatures in the west.
Yeah, rain's moving into the upper Midwest tonight. And tomorrow looks like a kind of a rainy day in the upper Midwest.
Well, Chip, a government funding package consisting of six bills with 6,628 earmarks passed the House. The $485 billion package funds the Departments of Ag, Justice, Transport, Housing and Urban Development, Veterans Affairs, Energy, and Commerce.
Okay. That's an incredible number. 6,628 earmarks. Mm-hmm. And that's coming from a guy that is in favor of earmarks, as long as they are vetted and put through properly. There's no way that they could put through 6,628 earmarks properly in this scenario. It just doesn't work.
Well, Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis President Neil Kashkari anticipates the Fed will reduce interest rates twice, or possibly only once in 2024. In December, Kashkari had forecasted two rate cuts for the year. The Security and Exchange Commission approved a climate risk reporting rule aimed at compelling public companies to disclose more information about their climate-related risks, costs of severe weather events, and greenhouse gas emissions. President Biden's campaign is reportedly shifting its focus to criticizing former President Trump's economic plans for a potential second term rather than solely focusing on his actions while in office. During Biden's upcoming State of the Union address this evening, his team plans to contrast his agenda with Trump's proposals. Polls suggest Trump's policies are perceived to have benefited individuals more than Biden's.
It was unbelievable. Just last night, I've signed up for the Biden for President emails just so I can keep up and keep track of what they're doing. The list of complaints and finger pointing at Trump that came through last night was pretty disgusting.
Word to Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas, who successfully advocated for changes to the Emergency Livestock Assistance Program, securing additional support for farmers impacted by winter wildfires. The modifications extend coverage to include losses of winter stored forage, addressing a previous gap in assistance for ranchers in Kansas. There's those wildfires again, Chip.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Finally, China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi strongly criticized the United States for imposing what he calls bewildering trade curbs on China, warning that these actions will ultimately harm America itself. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Chip.
We're trying to figure out just how much damage and how much loss there has been to the fires in the panhandle of Texas. What are you learning?
Well, we know that the damage estimate is going to take weeks, right? But Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller has said at least 6,000 cattle died. Hemp Hill County alone has lost at least 1,000 cows. They say hundreds of miles of fence, and replacement would cost $3 a foot, Chip. That's $15,000 per mile. There were also seven grain and seed dealers that were destroyed in the fire, along with at least 500 structures. That much we know so far. And again, to get a handle on the cattle deaths is going to take a while. But I did uncover some interesting stuff. The three counties affected the most by that smokehouse fire was Hutchinson, Hemp Hill, and Roberts. Those three counties together, according to Census of Agriculture, have roughly 36,000 cows. And the average size of those ranches or number of herd would be 171 cows. So this area is obviously a large ranching area, hit pretty hard by all of this. But again, it's going to be a while before we have solid figures on the damage.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I know that there are several efforts that are underway to bring some assistance into the panhandle, correct?
If you're if your listeners are interested in donating, go to the Texas Department of Agriculture's website. There's a place to donate there. There's also an active effort by the Texas and Southwest Cattle Raisers Association. That's available on their website. And, of course, you can always go to drovers.com and look at our stories. Yeah. We've included the links in all of those stories, how to donate.
There you go. That's the easy way to find it. www.drovers.com. Good stuff, Greg. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, coming up next, Justin Tupper, President, U.S. Cattlemen's Association, here on AgriTalk.
There I was, driving along, when I saw the corn laying down in the field, goosenecked again. Even though I tried everything, new traits, existing soil insecticides, every corn grower knows the hassle of gooseneck corn. But now there's Narisma Insecticide from BASF, a better, stronger in-furrow insecticide that controls corn rootworm and below-ground pests. Stand up for your corn with Narisma Insecticide. Ask your authorized BASF retailer about Narisma, and always read and follow label directions.
This is Chip Flory with another Appetite for Pork report. Dr. David Newman with the National Pork Board. The Pork Checkoff has been working to expand markets here at home. David, what exactly does that mean for pork producers?
It means we need to understand who our consumer is, what they want to purchase, what they want to prepare, and also where they're shopping. So using the data and insights we gather at the National Pork Board, it prepares us well for future consumers. So understanding and building relationships with retailers, food service companies, even convenience store operations is important.
All right. What does that look like on the ground level?
We currently have activations in more than 579 food service locations and numerous convenience store locations as well. So this is starting to pay off in the volume and value gain for pork producers.
Thanks again, David, for talking with us today about how the Pork Checkoff is building a bigger appetite for U.S. pork. You can find more information at porkcheckoff.org/radio.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds. Protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Davis, this just in on X from at Learn Ron.
Uh-huh.
He says, navels are the easy peel, others not so much.
Not so much?
Not so much.
See, the peels come off. It's the white stuff. It's the white backing. You know, that's what gets me. That slows me down.
There's the texture thing that gets me. Mm-hmm. All right. Justin Tupper is the president of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. He joins us right now. Justin, it's great to talk with you again. How are you, man?
Hey, very good, Chip. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, glad you're here. We were just talking with Greg Henderson about some of the damage in the panhandle of Texas. I'm sure that USCA's got some efforts underway to help with some of the relief efforts down there, right?
We sure do. Our affiliate, the Independent Cattlemen of Texas, has got some work going on trying to get some relief to them. We're also going to be doing the rollover auction right here at St. Ange Livestock tomorrow. I do know of four loads of hay that's going to be headed their way too. So we really feel for those guys, and it's good to see ranchers get behind ranchers.
Yeah, yeah. How can they learn more about that auction?
We'll be doing it right here at St. Ange. You can go to Cattle USA or DV Auction. It'll be at noon tomorrow during our regular sale.
Okay. All right. Excellent. How's things going on the sale? What's the feeder cattle market doing?
Well, we get to talk about some fun stuff here, Chip. Yeah. Market's really been on fire. I think maybe some all-time highs on some of these little light calves. We hope we can hold these levels and make the packers pay up for fat cattle so we can everybody can make a little bit this turn.
Yeah. Justin, some of the numbers that I'm hearing from the order buyers out even west of you, I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm just going to throw it out. Are they paying $2,000 for a calf delivered this fall?
That's what I've heard. You know, I have not seen anything actual either, but I've sure heard of it. I hope they're right. That's what I tell people. I hope they're right.
Yeah, it's good for the cow-calf guy. For the guys that are feeding cattle, they're looking for ways of cutting costs each and every day. There's no question about it. But what an incredible market. It's just supplies are so tight. And you would think that after talking about that for 3 years that we'd be past it, but we're not. The market is still trying to digest just how tight the supplies are. It's crazy. Okay.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right.
Yeah. Let's get into this. USDA earlier this week announced the finalization of the, quote, inclusive competition and market integrity under the Packers and Stockyard Act. What exactly is this, Justin, and what does it mean to the average person involved in the cattle industry?
Well, as you know, the Packers and Stockyard Act was written before there was ever anything such as computers or trading livestock at all the way we do it today. So we've been saying for years that we need to modernize it so everybody's on the same playing field. Right now, the big four Packers, they can pick and choose how some of those laws apply. And we've said for a long, long time we need to modernize this act, make sure that everybody is having to abide by the same things, not just the big four or not just the local guys or the local sale barns, but everybody under the same playing field and not being able to abuse the rules. So this is basically just bringing the Packers and Stockyards Act into the 21st century.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like USCA is in support of the final rule, correct?
Yes, I said, believed a long time that we need to get it modernized and make sure that we have everything we need to move the cattle in a way that fits the market.
Gotcha. Does it go far enough? I mean, are the protections from Packers and Stockyards, are those protections different enough today compared to what they were, last week?
No, and I don't know that it'll ever reach all the way to where we need it to, but I think if we can get some of these so they can't pick and choose who they go after, and we gave them many instances of where that's happened instead of an even use of the way that the law is applied, and that's what we've been after.
Yeah, cool. Okay, another one, and here, this is one that kind of a surprise that it has as much impact as it does on ranchers, but it certainly does. Securities and Exchange Commission released a ruling that does not require the publicly traded companies to disclose the greenhouse gas emissions from other companies that are feeding product into the food supply chain. That sounds like another final rule that's on the side of producers, isn't it?
Well, we believe so. You know, all of these carbon credits and all of this move towards that is, we always believe, is somewhat of a rabbit hole. You have to be very careful when you head down those paths because you don't know where you're going to end up.
Yeah. Boy, you got that right. But the thing is, with this one, as I understand it, they if the packer moves product into the into the meat case, they don't have to turn around and say the cattle that moved through your sale barn, Justin, had greenhouse gas emissions of, and that's a whole lot of paperwork that Justin doesn't have to do now. That seems like a good deal, doesn't it?
I think you're right. I mean, again, I think the cautious tale here is as everybody keeps leading us further down this path to take money for carbon credits, to move carbon pipelines and all these things, we got to be careful what we wish for here, because eventually then they can control all the things through that. And I think that's a ruling in our favor that they can't look down the chain to try and make us do paperwork or tell us how we have to run our operations.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Okay, another one, and this one is it continues to come up, and I'm talking about electronic IDs on cattle. What is the status, and what is USCA? What do you want to see happen regarding the EIDs?
You know, our stance has been very clear from the beginning. We are absolutely against mandated electronic EDs or any form of full identification. But if somebody wants to use that technology to enhance their product or to get more market share, we're all for it. But it should be voluntary. We should not have the government telling us what we can and can't do in that space. You know, we have a clear way to trace these animals for disease the way it is today. We've shown that time and time again. And until they can show us that that is a better way to do it, which they absolutely can't, they just tell you the electronic IDs would be better. There's no way that we can support mandates, and I don't think we would ever get there.
Man, and mandating something like this is where it really becomes the touchy issue, because we'll use your sale barn as an example again, Justin, because if a bunch of fat cattle come in there and they don't have an EID, who's going to have to put, if it is mandated, who's going to be responsible for putting those tags in place?
Yeah, and LMA, our market advocates, have been very clear too from the start. That's just not something that's physically feasibly possible in any of these barns. You know, when we go through big sales in the fall, because we're very seasonal, that there's no way physically possible that that can happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I use fat cattle as an example there, but the feeders, if the feeder cattle come in and they don't have the EID on them, and they have to before they run through a sale process, again, who is responsible? It's really something. Not a lot of time here, Justin, but there's one more important one that I want to get to. Give us your take on opening up the U.S. beef market to beef from Paraguay.
Man, this one makes no sense. I'll give you a quick synopsis. One time we had a call with Secretary Vilsack, where the RCAF, NCBA, U.S. cattlemen, all the presidents from South Dakota up here about 4 or 5 months ago, and we said we absolutely are all against this. I think it's unprecedented. And the secretary, we got nothing. So we have sent a letter to U.S. Cattlemen has to U.S. Customs and Border Protection, claiming the forced labor laws in Paraguay that are illegal for trade. We'll see where that takes us, but it's sure a food safety concern. They have foot and mouth all over that country, and not near the protections we have here in the state.
Well, and Vilsack said it himself that, you know, the last time that they had people on the ground taking a look at the situation was a decade ago. Update your research.
No,
yeah, update your research if you're going to do it. Justin, I always enjoy our conversations, man. Thank you so much. Good luck to you, buddy.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Justin Tupper, president of U.S. Cattlemen's Association.
All right, let's see here. Acuron corn herbicide. Powerful weed control? Check. Long-lasting residual? Check. Proven crop safety? Check. Acuron checks all the boxes. which is why it outperforms and out-yields all other corn herbicides by 5 to 15 bushels an acre. Talk to your local Syngenta retailer or visit findmorebushels.com to discover your revenue potential today. Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide.
It can be challenging for U.S. farmers to make a profit in the grain markets. Reduce your risk exposure by purchasing professionally produced seed from authorized seed companies and seed dealers. The members of the Seed Innovation and Protection Alliance invest 15% of their sales into product research and development to help farmers like you maximize their crop performance every year. Bringing new seed innovations requires time, extensive research, and farmer partnership, the kind of commitments the seed companies of SEPA are investing in. Thank you for buying new seed and supporting U.S. seed innovation. To anonymously report a seed infringement, call 1-844-SEED-TIP.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a micro-epoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The micro-epoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Milk markets are lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, April milk down 7 to 15.93, May down 12 to 16.39, June down 10 to 17.12, July milk down 7 at 17.64. Live cattle markets were moving out mostly higher today as the trade was encouraged by the export sales report and also seeing midday box beef prices moving higher as feedlots continue to hold out for better money. Feeder cattle markets were mixed today. Strength in the corn markets pressuring markets. The trade's kind of watching to see how high corn could actually run. Hogs mostly higher as a positive export inspections report, which was strong and supportive, and cash prices higher supported the market. April live cattle up $1.05 to $188.30. March feeder cattle down 27 cents to $2.50.75. April hogs up 25 cents to $85.25. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving mostly higher as the trade is doing short covering by the commodity funds ahead of tomorrow's USDA crop report. Also higher Russian wheat offers to Egypt have some traders wondering if Russia is done dumping wheat on the global market. March corn up 8 to 426. New crop up 5 and 3 quarters to 466 and 3 quarters. March beans up 11 and a quarter to 1151 and a half. New crop up 8 and 3 quarters to 1151. Chicago wheat. March now up 5 and a quarter to 526 and a half. Minneapolis wheat. May up 13 to 658 and a quarter.
When it comes to farming and family, the most important thing is laying down roots. Hey, it's Matthew from Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi, and we want to help you grow your roots. From planting to harvest, we can help you lay your foundation through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and great service. We know how to help because we know Bluff Country. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of strong roots in the community and the relationships we build. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
So I was thinking during the break, is you know, outside of the markets now, when you decide to step up and be a leader of one of these commodity organizations, Davis, Look at the responsibility that you're taking on. Justin is up to speed on these issues that the average cattleman probably knows about, but you know, not to the point that they understand exactly what it means and what the long-term implications and the unintended consequences and you know, on down the list and making the commitment to be an educator on all of these issues for the decision makers. I think it's just, it's impressive as heck to me the farmers that decide to step up and become a leader for their industries. It's it blows me away. That is commitment right there. All right. Bob Elliott with Unlimited Funds is our guest right now. Bob, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, we need you back here for a conversation again because we're trying to make heads or tails of what is going on. First off, what is the deal? Why is Powell on Capitol Hill for testimony now? It's not the annual stuff, is it?
It is. It's the Humphrey Hawkins, okay. Congress does have regulatory oversight over the Fed to some extent, even though it's an independent agency. And so they use it, for a bit of grandstanding and a bit of conversation about what's going on with policy.
Okay. So what are we learning from his testimony?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, with the press conferences that the Fed does every 6 weeks these days, there's a lot of communications. A lot of what is being said is being repeated and reemphasized, which is, the basic story is the economy is doing pretty well from a growth perspective. Inflation's coming down. It's still a little too high from the Fed's perspective. And they need to get more confident in inflation being durably beat before they start an interest rate cutting cycle. And so, the fact that cuts might be on the horizon is certainly a positive, particularly for financial markets. And we're seeing that broadly the last couple of days. But the data has to come through in order to give the Fed confidence to do the cuts that many are hoping for.
What are your thoughts on that, Bob? Is inflation, is the cap back on the inflation bottle?
Well, I think most people living in their day to day would certainly have a bone to pick with the idea that inflation is beat. The Fed follows a certain set of data, and what I'd say there is that it's obviously quite meaningfully improved since where we were, when inflation was running at 9 or 10% on a year over year basis, but it certainly doesn't look totally beat. I think there's a real risk when you look at the data and the dynamics going on that we get inflation that kind of settles in the sort of 3-4 range rather than in the 1-2 range, which is what the Fed's targeting. Right. Some of the things that have been such a support to bringing inflation down, slowing inflation, like, falling gas prices, as an example, going from $5 a gallon to $3 a gallon. Well, now that's creeping back up and that flows into other prices throughout the economy. And so I think there's reasons to believe that it may not be totally beat.
Right. And part of the issue here is the fiscal policy from the administration with the, continuing to put money into the system. And that is a variable that Powell is dealing with that may be past chairman of the Fed haven't had to deal with, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, typically when you have, unemployment rates at under 4%, those are times actually to balance the budget or even run surpluses like we saw, in the 90s and in other periods back through history. And what's going on right now is radically different from that. We're running 6-7% of GDP deficits. Those are the types of deficits that were run in the financial crisis, right? When, conditions were very weak in the U.S. We're running those sorts of financial crisis deficits at a time when the economy is pretty good. And I think that, that coming from Congress and the administration together are, making a decision to run very stimulative policy, which is keeping pressures on inflation either directly or indirectly, for sure.
Right. Okay. The other economic data that we're getting, Bob, it suggests that this economy is really doing okay, isn't it?
It sure is. I mean, we're the numbers are adding up in a way that looks like we're going to get our seventh straight quarter of GDP growth at 2% or better on a real GDP basis. That's pretty good for the U.S. economy. Combined with the fact that We're seeing labor markets that remain pretty tight. I mean, particularly if you're trying to hire in any sort of service industry, you know, somewhere outside of the coasts, you know, it's very hard to get high quality, good skilled labor pretty much anywhere at this point without paying up for it. And so, you know, those two things, the growth dynamics and the tightness of the labor market, they both speak to the fact that, you know, the economy is doing pretty well. And with this, you know, with these sort of asset price increases that we're seeing, you know, stocks are pushing new highs, you know, bond yields haven't risen all that much. They're down, you know, 100 basis points from where they were last summer. You know, the dynamics are in place to keep this economic momentum, you know, for the next 3 or 6 months at least.
And what you just explained right there, Bob, is why when I see another analyst or other analysts talk about recession and how they see the risk of recession gaining momentum, I kind of scratch my head over that. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I do sometimes because, you know, I think part of it is there's always the ability to cherry pick some data point.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, make a sky is falling sort of case. I think to understand the macroeconomy well requires understanding it holistically. And so that's why whenever we talk, I'm talking about what's going on with GDP in aggregate, what's going on with the overall unemployment rate and the overall right. labor market conditions, because that's what matters, you know, for all of for you know, in its entirety. It doesn't mean that there aren't certain pockets of folks that are stressed right now. That's certainly true. It's just in general, you know, most households are doing pretty well with their 401ks rising, equity yeah. markets rising, yeah. house prices rising, and, you know, they're mostly employed with pretty good wage income. You put that all together, that's a pretty good story. I mean, particularly for the middle class, this is, you know, one of the better circumstances we've had for the middle class, honestly, 20 or 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah. The biggest headwind that we've got is affordability stinks. You know, when you start adding up the inflation rate over the past 3 years, you get to that bottom line, and affordability stinks, and it's being reflected in consumer debt, right?
Well, I think that's part of the flip side. You know, if you're a house, you know, if you're working a middle class job and your wages are going up and your house price is going up and you know, you've locked in a low mortgage, things are looking pretty good for you. But that doesn't mean that prices haven't risen. I think we all feel that every day, how prices have risen. So, you know, your stocks may be up, but you're asking yourself, am I actually, you know, can I keep consuming more as a function of that, you know, in real terms rather than, you know, paying more. And then right. I think, you know, there's a fair amount of folks who have been left behind, particularly younger folks who aren't yep. homeowners, who are struggling, right, who aren't necessarily getting as good a wage growth, who don't have the asset savings that they're benefiting from. They're getting squeezed and they're trying to make ends meet by, you know, going into debt, whether it's more student debt or credit card debt. And so that's really the group in the economy that is really falling behind. It's not sort of boomers or Gen X or millennials. It's really the Gen Z group that is really struggling at this point. And you can gotcha. See their disaffection in a lot of different ways.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So Neil Kashkari up in Minneapolis has said, you know, I was thinking two. Now let's call it 1 to 2 interest rate cuts in 2024. What's your thought there? Will we see an interest rate cut in 24?
Well, I think if you just ask me, take a look at any economy where unemployment's at secular lows, growth is above, you know, potential and has been expanding for 7 quarters, and inflation is a little elevated relative to target and was a lot elevated recently, mm-hmm. I'd tell you that the central bank probably shouldn't be, you know, at a minimum shouldn't be doing anything in terms of cuts and maybe even tightening a little bit, particularly yeah. as stock prices yes. seem to moon. And so, you know, I think the idea that we get through the end of the year with zero cuts, it's certainly pretty plausible and pretty different from, you know, people who are expecting 7 cuts coming into yeah. the year.
Yeah. No question about that. You better scale it back if that was your thoughts earlier. No doubt about it. Bob, it's always fun to have you on here, man, and get your thoughts on where things are headed. We really appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Always great to catch up.
Excellent. Thank you. That is Bob Elliott, Unlimited Funds. All right, Davis, I had a conversation last week down at Commodity Classic.
In Houston, Texas.
With Chad Gripp, founder of Sweetwater Technologies. We've got that conversation coming up for you next. Now, we're going to launch right into it and hit the ground running when the next segment starts. And just so you know, you got to come back this afternoon, 206 Central. We're going to have a conversation with Joe Coima from Coima Varlick, KKV Trading. And you know what's coming your way tomorrow morning. We got the free-for-all. But up next, Chad Gripp, founder of Sweetwater Technologies.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is business analyst Jill Schlesinger. In today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in your life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/credit card. Limitations apply.
You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right?
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thingy.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water. Pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the Leading Bargain liquid detergent.
If you're an employer looking to hire, here's some great news. ZipRecruiter lets you post jobs for free before you commit. Head over to ZipRecruiter.com/Bob to try it out. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Bob. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/B-O-B. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Tristan Beyer is the crop nutrition lead for Western North America at Mosaic. Tristan, why is sulfur a critical nutrient for crops?
Thank you, Chip. I think when you look at sulfur, the reason it is important for crops is it is one of the essential nutrients. While it is not the same quantities used as what we see with N, P, or K, it is a secondary macronutrient that's still needed in several pounds per acre for crop growth and development.
Okay, so there's two different forms of sulfur. Tell me about the two types and the roles that they play in plant growth.
Sulfate or elemental sulfur is the primary different kinds. The two can complement each other for season-long sulfur uptake to the crop, but they need to be in the right balance to ensure that it is available at the right times of the season.
Okay, so when we're making a fertilizer decision, what do you want growers looking for?
I think the main thing when you look at, you know, sulfur nutrition is, one is, what is the crop uptake requirements of sulfur and the release rate characteristics. If you look at something like sulfate, we don't want to front load all of our sulfate in either the fall or the spring where we might have a bunch of rain events that can move that through the soil profile. Or if we look at elemental sulfur going through later in the season, you know, taking too long to become available to the crop.
Okay, Tristan, what products are available through Mosaic that can deliver sulfur the way that you think it needs to be delivered?
Mosaic has a couple different products that have sulfur within them. When we look at one of our products that cover probably the largest number of acres across North America and in other geographies, it'd be MicroEssentials. What's unique about MicroEssentials is it has a patented fusion technology that has two forms of sulfur within every granule, and those two forms of sulfur, mainly sulfate and elemental sulfur, can then be released at rates that are more conducive for crop uptake throughout the growing season. It helps ensure season-long sulfur availability. You can go to cropnutrition.com to learn more.
Excellent. Thank you, Tristan. That is Tristan Beyer, crop nutrition lead for Western North America at Mosaic.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Talking now with Chad Griff from Sweetwater Technologies. Chad's the founder of Sweetwater Technologies. Chad, welcome to AgriTalk.
Hey, thanks, Chip. Glad you're here.
You bet. Sweetwater Technologies, what is it?
It's a drone service, basically. We started our own, Sweetwater Technologies is a drone service, but we've turned that into a franchise. So we're offering franchises to young men and women that really want to come back to the farm.
Okay, the backstory on this and how it all developed, Chad. Good grief! Now you've got a history in ag retail.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yep. We started an ag retail business 20 some years ago.
Yep.
But how it really originally started, Chip, is I graduated from college and there really wasn't a lot of room for me to come back to the family farm. So I started a livestock hauling business. We hauled livestock all over the U.S. We had a successful business there. So that was my kind of a building block. And from there, we picked up a few more acres on the farm and, we started a custom farming business to upgrade our machinery line. And, the custom farming business turned into a custom application business. And then that custom application business turned into ag retail. And we were able to grow the ag retail business. We got into fertilizer. And then we started a drone application business in 2022, and we were very successful at it. The first year, I think we had 18,000 acres on the books, and we turned that into 32,000 acres that year with just drones.
Yeah.
And in 2023, we ended up covering 90,000 acres with drones, and we launched something called A Road to a Million Acres, where it's our commitment to spray 1 million acres in 1 year with drones.
A million acres is a big goal, especially for a service, Chad, that not that long ago was kind of a novelty. When you're covering 100,000 acres, it's not a novelty anymore, is it?
It is not a novelty. And as we speak, Chip, 2 years ago, we had not sprayed 1 acre with a drone.
Right.
Nothing. And the story with that was we were using a helicopter service, a great helicopter service, and we had a chance to expand our acreage that year, and the helicopter service just simply said, Chad, we're full. We can't do any more than what we have. And I thought, you know what, I'm not sure I want another business to dictate whether we can grow or not. So we just kind of, we were all in. We bought 4 drones, hired 8 interns out of Purdue. And like I said, we turned that 18,000 acres into 32,000 acres that year.
Yeah. Okay. So it continues to grow. You're looking for ways to expand it, and franchising comes into play here.
Yeah. We launched that Road to a Million Acres, and we had at that time, we had 20 interns, and our goal for 2023 was that 100 to 120,000 acres. And, you start doing the math, you're like, okay, it takes 20 interns to do 100,000 acres. My gosh, we're going to need 200 interns and the housing for 200 interns to do 1 million acres. And we kind of went back to the drawing board and said, hey, we're still going to do this Road to 1 million acres, but we're going to franchise it.
Yeah.
And I think we've got a really good business structure. I think we've got a really good opportunity to get young men and young women back on the farm. We're here to create income producing business, a business that has value and growth potential. It's not a side gig. it's a business that has value. And if this young man or young woman works hard and in 5 years they build this business up, it has a value. They could,
right.
they could sell it if
right.
they wanted to. It's not just something, well, you know what, we're going to move on and we're going to close the doors on this business. No, it's a business that has value. And the reason it has value is because of our branding, because of all our support and the structured business that we built.
Who's a good candidate for a franchisee?
A good candidate for a franchisee is really that young farm kid that has that access to acres. You know, we've had some wonderful interns that have showed up and just been an absolute success and helped us be a success. And they didn't have a farming background, but they were very capable of handling all the technology that it takes to apply with drones. But in this case here, you really need that person that has that father that may have access to acres, that uncle, that grandpa or neighbor or whatever. They have that access to acres. They can get a franchise and they can go out and start building their business right there locally.
Yeah. And like you said, you put 4 or 5 of some years of sweat into it and the equity builds up in that business.
Well, that is correct. Yeah. I mean, you know, our goal would be for a first year franchisee, we'd love to see them do about 10,000 acres a year. You know, you get a young man that's very good at running his business, good at selling products and good at talking to people, you know, 4 or 5 years, he could have a few of our rigs and they could be spraying 20, 30,000 acres. And that is a business that has value.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. No doubt. What can't a drone handle?
What can't a drone handle?
Yeah.
You know, as far as terrain, it handles just about any type of terrain. I mean, we get 99 to 100% coverage in all the fields, whether it's hilly terrain, flat terrain, whatever. If you want to compare what it can't handle, you can't spray 50 gallons an acre with a drone.
Right,
You know, you can't spread 200 pounds of fertilizer with a drone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for the area that we're working in, it fits perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, it's flying crop protection on the corn and soybeans in the Midwest.
Right. Okay. What else do we need to know about Sweetwater Technologies?
Sweetwater Technologies isn't just going to stop, you know, with what we're offering now. It is, again, it's a business that we want to see grow and succeed. So along the way, you know, it's not called Sweetwater Technology because that just means one technology. It's called Sweetwater Technologies. So we're going to adapt. And as new technologies are available to us, we're going to make sure that our franchises have those available to them.
Very cool. Now, this road to 1 million acres, how close are we?
Well, I mean, we're 2023, we did 90,000 acres, so I guess we're 9% there.
Yeah.
Hopefully this year, we're looking at, by the end of 2024, we're looking to be 20% there. So we hope to cover 2,000 acres in 2024. 2025, I hope we're over that 500,000 mark. 26 and 27 is going to be very interesting. It's a goal. 1 million acres is a goal, but we're not stopping.
Right.
That's not where we were just like, okay, we made 1 million acres, let's stop. No, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep going to keep growing, keeping improving.
Very good. So, listeners, they're going to want more information on this. Where do they go?
They go to sweetwatertechnologies.com. There's a place there. You can fill out an application if you're interested. Fill the application out, and then our team will reach out to you, and we'll get the ball rolling.
Fantastic, Chad. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
All right, Chad Gripp. He is the founder of Sweetwater Technologies.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trivolt herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trivolt, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trivolt worked. See for yourself at trivoltinaction.com. Trivolt is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement, and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This Entertainment Insider is sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
Comedian Dulce Sloan invites people into her life with a new book, Hello Friends.
And I don't know if you ever seen a whole book, but you got to put words in those. And they want like a lot of them. I didn't count them. That's not my job. But what I will say is that you have to fill it up so they'll pay you. It was difficult. Because I was thinking about I had to go over my whole life.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on